27.
Item number 27, from the Labor Relations Specialist, Department of Labor Relations, requesting ratification of the 2012 and 2013 Memoranda of Agreement between Milwaukee County and the Association of Milwaukee County Attorneys.
Before we start, Mr. Grady, are you the interim Corporation Counsel?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Director of Labor Relations, Supervisor Schmidt, you had a question related to what I just asked?
Yes, and no disrespect to Mr. Bauer, I don't know if he wants to go through all this, but I guess the point is what I've heard, and I would like, maybe if it's okay with you, Mr. Chairman, for Corporation Counsel to step right in. If we pass any of these today, what about retroactively to the rest of the contracts we have with these different groups? Doesn't it, then, we have to make all sorts of other readjustments? I mean, we're putting ourselves in a position that we're reopening the rest of the contract, rest of these parts of the contract that we already have negotiated. Am I saying that right? Or would you give us advice on that, please? Is that okay, Mr. Chairman?
That's fine.
Mr. Chairman, I believe that's correct, what Supervisor Schmidt said. You have an issue before you by the presentation of these items. You have five different unions involved in the next, in these five sequential items. Actually, eight contracts, because there's three 2012 contracts also, and five 2013 contracts. But these contracts all comport with Act 10, and so they only have essentially one clause, a recognition of the union and a wage increase for 1.5%, because that's all that is appropriate for bargaining with these particular unions. Therefore, upon ratification of these contracts, every provision of the old contracts, either 2011 or 2012, that is not a wage provision, will disappear. And consequently, the various other benefits that are contained in those contracts, whether it's a financial benefit like a wage differential, whether it's a non-financial benefit like a transfer right, those will be gone. And the question is, what happens to those issues for those people? We have ordinances in place in Chapter 17 that address some of those questions, but not all of those questions. And so I believe that you have a couple of options before you. One is to go ahead and ratify and let the chips fall where they may. The second is to lay over and give administration some time to compare those various paragraphs of the contracts and make a recommendation to you on what should be put into the ordinance and what should not. The administration has drafted a sort of a short-term fix ordinance amendment, which you could pass today, but it does not cover all of the subjects in the old contracts, and it would not be a complete thorough fix of all the issues. Well, legally it would, but it may not be practically. And so I believe, well, I don't want to recommend policy to you. Those are your options.
Well, you stated that, Mr. Corporation Counsel. We appreciate that. Supervisor Schmidt, Lipscomb, Roman West.
Well, maybe I should out of courtesy wait and see what other colleagues have to say, but I would be inclined, I'm just laying this out, that it would seem to be very logical that we would lay all these contracts over till, and I'll see if anyone else wants to go with that. Till, and I look at Mr. Sessions, I won't say next session, I will say our next meeting. Just because there are widespread implications here, and I don't think any of us realize, and I mean, I think all, I don't know if all the unions even, if they understood this too, that they would kind of null and void everything else that we previously negotiated. So, I mean, there's no way I would go for this today. And so I'm just throwing out, I would hope that's the kind of discussion we'd have. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor. Mr. Grady?
Just a quick pragmatic comment is that the contracts that are before you have a 1.5% pay increase retroactive to the same date everyone else got them. If you lay them over, those employees have to wait for that pay increase, but whenever they get it, it will be
retroactive. Anyway, right?
I'll get it.
Thank you.
I'll get it.
Supervisor, let's say Lipscomb, then Romo West.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
That's the opposite, but that's okay.
Oh, really? Oh, I'll defer.
I'll defer.
Thank you.
I'm going to be quick. Mr. Chairman, would just request that we take items 27 through 31 together, and I move layover.
Supervisor Romo West has moved layover for items 27, 28,
quick and dirty.
29, 30, and 31. Would any supervisor like separate action? Supervisor Stamper, you'd like separate action?
I just want to comment. I'd like to...
Okay. Supervisor.
Go ahead.
Supervisor Lipscomb, right. Then Supervisor Stamper.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I understand layovers before us. Step back in time here. So the way we confronted... similar issue in the days before Act 10 was the status quo resolution.
But that only covered District Council 48.
Correct. Yeah. It was not broadly applied. So right. A broadly applied status quo could be created simultaneous with our action to take these up in a subsequent cycle, or how? What was Corp Counsel? There was some allusion to the administration has something drafted. I guess I don't know if you're willing to discuss that something, but obviously one of the alternatives would be a broader status quo that says until we change stuff, it doesn't change, and we'll take up those issues as they come before us, and we'll do it more deliberative rather than just saying we threw it all out. And it's all we've got.
Yeah.
Is that appropriate? Or? Mr.
Chairman?
It was a question for Corp Counsel about our options.
That's great.
Mr. Chairman, I believe what Supervisor Lipscomb was referring to was the ordinance amendment that was, ordinance that was created related to DC 48 that was referred to as a status quo ordinance amendment. That is not what I was referring to. It is an option. I found and continue to find that to be problematic. What I was anticipating was what the administration brought forward at some point, I don't know the exact chronology, which we referred to as a crosswalk, where they went through the DC 48 contract and said, we looked at each paragraph and said, this is what we want to keep, or this is what we want to modify, or this is what we don't want to keep. And they went through it line by line or paragraph by paragraph and made recommendations in the form of ordinance amendments for what should be kept and what not. That was what I was anticipating, is a document like that addressing these five unions' contracts. Some of them are longer than others. Some of them would be more complicated than others. But what I was contemplating was not a status quo ordinance for each union. Now, it's up to the administration, but I'm just telling you what my thought was.
All right. Okay, Mr. Chairman, I guess then my question would be for the administration, how they're proposing that the process is going to unfold. Because, you know, my interest in status quo at the time we did it for DC 48 and why I would be interested in it now is that we would have a parallel process as we were considering at that time, where we were going to have a meet and confer to be able to work out stuff, not negotiate, but to be able to work things out. Not here, not in committee. And that's my concern, is if this crosswalk document comes forward and the administration has their view on 29 different issues, and you're going to have people coming to the table on 29 different issues here in a committee, that is not a productive, conducive way to move forward. So,
thank you, Supervisor. Mr. Bowell, then Director Mitchell.
Go on.
Mr. Bowell, if you...
No, I have no comment.
Okay. Director Mitchell.
Thank you, Chairman and Supervisors. The way I would envision this flowing is really working aggressively to come up with, look at all of those contracts and look at what might our go forward be in Chapter 17 for all these folks, and kind of get everyone on the same page. And then also certainly getting the input of some of our union leaders who have known these contracts so well before we come back to you. So, you know, you mentioned meet and confer. I have no objections to that. We certainly can't negotiate with them, but getting input and reactions to different things and taking that feedback and looking at it, I'm absolutely open to that. And my hope is that, you know, the status quo ordinance, I think at the time it was put in, was something I think you all felt you needed to do, because in the wake of Act 10, nobody really knew what was going on. But as time has gone on, it's become troublesome because we have this grouping of employees who, for whom the rules are just a little different from the other folks. And if we could just get everybody sort of together on the same page, I think from an administrative and management perspective, things could be a lot smoother. So the plan, I think, would be to really work aggressively to get this pulled together and then get input from some different parties and then bring it forward. That's what I'd like to see happen.
Mr. Chairman, so are you suggesting that you essentially are going to have a meet and confer process of some sort to help you sort through this so that when you come back to committee that will have occurred, you'll have a response, you'll know what their issues are with your recommendations rather than having the discussion here?
Yeah, that's fine with me. I mean, I know that meet and confer ordinance really never got passed, but that doesn't mean we can't sit down and talk. So I would be happy to do that. Yeah.
I appreciate that. That was always the intention. It was always my intention. I think it was others' intention that we were going to have that process. And I understand how it got derailed, but I think it would serve all of us to have some discussion prior to that.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Cullen?
I have a question maybe of Mr. Grady. Since we're in sort of the post-Act 14 days, and as I understood Act 14, all the contracts go through the county exec. We don't have anything. Why are these here?
Two reasons, I believe, Mr. Chairman. Number one, I don't have fiscal notes in front of me, but my guess is all of them qualify as large enough because of the pay raises. Perhaps not the machinists, I don't know, because there's only three members, but it would qualify as things that require county board approval, even as a normal contract. Plus, I believe, and I guess I want to be careful here, Chapter 111, I think, still preserves the authority of the board to ratify contracts, even though they're not negotiating them. I'd have to double-check that, but I believe mm-hmm. that's the case. But either way, I think certainly most of these contracts, if not all of them, would qualify just as a basic contract, if not for the Chapter 111 reason as well.
So labor contracts weren't differentiated in Act 14 from other contracts?
Act 14 did not make that differentiation. What I'm suggesting is it may still be in Chapter 111, and without checking, I can't tell you.
Okay. Thank you.
Supervisor Stamper.
I'm okay.
You're fine. Yeah. Okay. I will acknowledge that I did receive a card from Jeff Weber from the Federation of Nurses and Health Professionals, and I'm saying that in as much as what's before us is layover, and so I just want to acknowledge that we have a card. That's all.
That's fine. Thanks.
Thank you. Any further comments as it relates to the motion to lay over? Seeing no indication, Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Supervisors Haas?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Romo West?
Aye.
Lipscomb?
Aye.
Bowen?
Aye.
Stamper?
Aye.
Cullen?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
8 ayes, 0 noes, the motion to lay over items 27, 28, 29, 30, and 31 is approved.